prayers for with Montel and Alta Grace for the Bible study. There's Mr. Patrick, Miss Amy Lee DeWitt, and also please remember in our prayers, we'll remember Don for Monday. He's having his test, and we will keep you in our prayers, most definitely. And so we're ready to stand and sing 692.
Loving, most wonderful, gracious Father, how you can love the likes of us. So undeservedly are we humbly bowed before you this morning. Let each mind be open to receive the message from you to them through the lips and from the sacred pages. Lord, this is our prayer. You will bless this congregation and lead it into the fruition and victory that you have planned for this church. Some of us may not be around long enough to see it enriched and filled, but we will know that we have gone down fighting and praying and working to prepare the footstones and the foundation for a strong church. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us our sins, bringing us together here, and uniting our hearts for a spiritual blessing from on high. In the name of our precious Jesus, thy will be done unto all. Amen. Thank you. Let's further praise the Lord by singing number 526 in the hymnal. 526. What a song to begin with. That's the message in itself. It's all about Jesus. You know, he's calling us. He says, I love you so much. I just want you to love me back. He's the groom in love with his bride. Can you imagine, remember, and reflect those of us that have been married and are married, whatever, the moment you wanted that person to love you and you only, as much as you thought you loved that person? Where did that come from? It had to come from the same kind of being who created the beings that we are, humanity, that he could mold and groom and shape for that very same purpose of falling in love with him and returning that love he has for us right back, only to receive more and more and expand the horizons of knowledge, wisdom, and his glory. So it's with that we have the opportunity, with all these rich, tangible blessings that he's given us through the duties of life, to mark and make our journey to come to this place and surrender his tithe and a thank offering for all the things, the special things that you've actually prayed for in your prayer book or in your memory, and he's actually literally answered them. Thank offering. Maybe a double tithe even. How can you outgive the Lord? This is his call. Maintain this place and all that's in it. I've provided it for you. Enjoy it. Return unto me that which is mine. Keep my house for this purpose, and I am there with you, individually and always. Will the deacon wait on us at this time for the tithe and offering? Lord, bless these tithes and offerings to your glory and your purposes. Lord, we don't know how far they'll go and what will be the results of the souls they reach. Lord, it only takes a little bit here and a little bit there to make a great movement. And so all the churches around the globe that are gathering and garnishing these things for thee, praise and bless these offerings. And bless those here in this sanctuary that are able to give and not able, that we may become able by your beautiful, bountiful blessing in Jesus, who is making all things that are impossible possible. We pray. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. So, you know, there are these sometimes these stories that you see on the internet that are forwarded, and sometimes you wonder, is that true? Some of them are nice stories, but you don't know if this is true. Well, I came across one that turns out to be true. The pastor, his name is Richard Ryan, and he, one afternoon, or lunchtime, he was with some colleagues having lunch with this restaurant, and they were looking out the window, and they saw this homeless guy that they had not seen before. You know, because you kind of are familiar with the homeless people in your neighborhood, fortunately. And so he saw they saw this guy walking, and he had all stuff on his back, and he had a sign that said, "We'll work for food." The sign was a little beaten up. But there's something about him, although they watched him, and it was kind of sad because he was kind of fairly young, they thought, well, but there's something about him that just got to this pastor. Anyhow, so they continued eating. The guy continued down the road, and after they finished eating, they walked outside the restaurant. The pastor looked down the road where the guy went, and he didn't see him. He got into his car, and he kind of drove around a little bit. He was half hoping he didn't see him, because if he saw him, he felt he might be obligated to do something, and he wasn't quite sure what he would do. I mean, what would you do for a homeless person? But he didn't see him, and so he continued on his way. He had some errands to run, and then he was going to go to his office. But in the back of his mind, he said, after he finished running the errands, he said, like, the Spirit of God told me, drive around that block, the town square, one more time to see if you see him. So he drove around there, and when he was getting to the last corner, there he saw the guy. He was sitting, there was a storefront church, and he was sitting on the stoop in front of the church. And there just happened to be an open parking space right in front of him. So he pulled up, and he came out and he said, how are you doing? The guy said, fine. He said, are you trying to find the pastor? And he said, no, I'm just resting for a while. And the guy said, well, you mind if I took you out for lunch? Have you eaten today? And he said, well, I had something for lunch. I mean, I had something for breakfast, but let me take you out for lunch. He said, well, do you have a job? That's what I'm looking for, a job. And he says, no, I don't have one, but I can take you for lunch. And so the guy said, okay, all right. So they got in the car and, you know, making small talk. Where are you headed? Headed to St. Louis. This was in Indiana. This was taking place in Indiana. I'm headed to St. Louis. Where are you from? Well, I'm from all about, but Florida mainly. And how long you've been on the road? About 14 years. And so the pastor thought, but there's something about the guy. You know, sometimes you meet these people and you know, God bless them, but sometimes they have mental illness or they have... But the guy seemed to have all his faculties, and he seemed quite articulate. So he allowed him to keep his stuff in the car. They went into the restaurant. And when he took off his jacket, it had a red T-shirt that said, Jesus is a never-ending story. And he thought, okay, maybe did he pick up that T-shirt from some, you know, somebody who gave it away? But as they're talking, the guy tells his story. He was 38, and he grew up in a very rough household. And as a result, he made some very poor decisions as a young man, and he did suffer the consequences of those decisions. And at some point, he was homeless, and he was traveling through Florida, and he ended up at Daytona Beach, and he saw a group of people that were pitching a tent. They were getting ready to pitch a tent and to set up some sound equipment. He figured it was for a concert, so he asked if he could join them and help them and maybe for some pay, and they said sure. It turned out it wasn't a concert, it was a revival series. And they invited him to stay, and they paid him to help him around. And it was there that he first really learned about God, and that's where he gave his life to God, and he changed his life. And trying to decide what he was going to do with his life, he felt clearly that God felt that he should travel, that he should travel the road, that he should walk. And that's what he's been doing, and giving out Bibles. And he just goes from one place to the other. He's been across the United States just handing out Bibles. And so the pastor asked him, well, how is that working for you? I mean, like, what kind of life is that? And he said at first he wasn't quite sure, and it was kind of humiliating because sometimes people treat you like if you were dirt when you're homeless. But he says as he felt as God has led him over the years, he has met many countless people that he felt that God has used him to bless them. Like, he meets them at the time when he should meet them. And so the pastor thought, wow, that's, you know, he was interested in his story. And so when the meal was over and they were walking outside, the homeless man, whose name was Daniel, turned to the pastor and said, by the way, remember that verse, come blessed of my Father, and you will inherit the kingdom. Because when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And as a stranger, you invited me in. And so the guy thought, this is crazy. The homeless guy, Daniel, said, you know, so you've been my blessing today. So the pastor said, well, you have been mine. Why don't I give you some Bibles? I apparently have some in the church. And the homeless guy said, well, I only like a certain translation and a certain size because they're easier to carry. So the guy said, well, come to the church, let's see. So when they went to the church, the guy's church, he was a Lutheran minister, and he found a couple Bibles that he could give that fit the criteria, and he gave it to them. And so he asked him, so where are you headed? What are you going to do next? He said, he pulled out a ticket from some kind of amusement park in the area. He said, I'm going here. And so the pastor said, are you going to get a job? He says, no, not a job. I feel that whoever needs me next is going to be there. That's the Lord leads me that. So the pastor said, I can give you a ride. And he said, no, 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 take me back to the town square. So they got back to the town square, and the guy gets out, and they start talking. And then Daniel said, oh, I have this book I want you to sign for me. I have people sign it who have met, who have also inspired me. So do you mind signing it? And so he said, no, I should. And so pastor signed it, saying how an inspiration you've been to me. And then the verse from Isaiah that said, I know the plans I have for you to prosper and for you to keep you from harm, for you to have a future and for you to have hope. And so they signed it, and then they hugged each other, and Daniel started walking away. And then Daniel turned around and said two things. One is, if you ever in the future come across something that reminds you of me, please pray for me, and I'll see you in the New Jerusalem. Amen. So the pastor said, okay. They went their way. The pastor went back to his office, did his whatever he had to do, and then he gets in his car to go home, and as he is about to release the handbrake, you know, the emergency brake, he feels this thing rough, and he looks down, and there's a pair of old, worn-out gloves that Daniel had. And the first thing he thought, oh my gosh, he forgot his gloves, his hands are going to be cold. And then he remembered how he said, if you ever come across something that reminds me of you, please pray for me. So he realized he probably left that there. He went home that day, and he told the story to his wife, and he wrote it down. This was in 1993. He wrote the story down, and in 95, he had it published in a local paper, and then I think 96, that book, the third edition of Chicken Soup for the Soul, they published that story there. And since then, it's a story that has been around, one of those stories that people forward to each other on the internet. And he says, the interview that I saw with him, he said, the interview I saw with him was in 2016, and he still had the gloves that he left on his desk, and he's never heard from Daniel again. He doesn't know whatever happened to him. But I guess part of that story, when we're talking about what we should do in our community to bring people to church, I know sometimes, I mean, I'm a little shy. I've gotten used to standing here talking to you guys because I know you, but I tend not to be the person that will stand in front of anybody to talk to anybody about anything. But we all have different talents, you know. Some of us are great at Bible study. Some of us are cooking. And as we point out, to what we can do to bring people in our church, just as we pointed out in Sabbath school, ask God to the Spirit to lead you, or as Daniel said, you know, I have God lead you, and God will show us the way. But we just have to be open to Him. That's it.
You know, and somebody will pick up something. Everyone that you meet takes a part of you with them, so it's important what you say. And so that's where we are now. I think it's time for our main prayer, and Brother Don's going to pray for us this morning.
Yeah, if you can kneel, please do, but just be comfortable wherever you're at. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Today I asked you to lift up those people in my neighborhood, in my city, and in my church. Begin with those who follow you and help them influence others for good. Let them be the salt and the light that they need. We pray, Lord, that you help us point others to you. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. Guard them from hypocrisy and from giving in to temptations that can harm the cause of Christ. Raise up leaders who will serve you faithfully at all costs. Turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children and families toward you. Help them, Lord, to exemplify your values and make them bold in their faith. Strengthen my own family and those closer to me, Lord. May our love for you help us love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. I pray for teachers and students and all those in authority and leadership, both locally and throughout this world. Give them your mind and surround them with godly counseling who will exercise integrity and work for justice, morality, and freedom. Help them to esteem you, not dismiss you. Send revival, Lord, and send it now. I pray for the lost, the hurting, the lonely, the sick, and those who are in prison behind both visible and invisible walls. Send your comfort and your peace and your calming presence to those who are without hope. Protect the defenseless and hold them close to your heart. I pray for laborers to tell the good news of Jesus to people around this world. Jesus, my heart cries out for persecuted believers. Make them brave and give them your powerful protection. I pray you will bring swift justice to those who want to destroy the innocent and those who carry your name. Bind the power of Satan and strengthen believers everywhere. So many need Jesus, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful, and your power is great. Today, Lord, we ask that you give the Holy Spirit to our speaker, that he may present a message, and that we understand the message that he's going to deliver. So, Lord, it is in your name that I pray and believe. Amen.
Glad that you're here this morning. And I'm glad I'm here. The struggle this week has been, it's been heavy. The week before was worse. And weeks before that were even worse. But today I'm happy to be here with happy people in Jesus Christ. And for that, my mind was at war with myself for 2 weeks with the message for today. It's not my message, it's a letter from the apostle. This letter I'm going to share with you is 1 Peter. It takes 30 minutes for me to read the 5 chapters of 1 Peter. But this will be the journey from start to finish of what your life should be, can be, will be, if you submit and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart to move you into the action as it unfolds in these short chapters. Only 3-4 pages here in my Bible. Hopefully my oratory will be pronounced, accurate, and impressive by the Spirit to your hearts to move you to discover the hidden agent for Jesus Christ that dwells in your heart. You don't even know yourself yet, probably. And that's why you want to pray diligently for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of this word. As in the mission story, Vincencio was invited to the palace to talk to the president. And whenever he visited him in Italy, he asked him to read the Bible to him and pray with him. So we do that this morning, Lord. We're doing as you, when you entered into the temple, you stood up to read. So that's where I'm at this morning with this story and this message, Lord. From the holy pages, from you to us. Bless it. For your glory, praise, and honor always. Amen. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people. That's us, me, you. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit made you holy. Brother asked us in many Sabbath schools back, are you holy? Are you holy? Sure, we're holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It'd probably be a little different from your King James in places. But this is a beautiful presentation and a beautiful translation. And it fits our generation for understanding and interpretation. The hope of eternal life is where we begin, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see when He comes in the clouds of glory. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, the brick of Ophir, far more precious. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It may not be now, today, tomorrow, but when he comes. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, right here in this church where he dwells among us by the Spirit, you trust him just the same. Can't see him, can't see him, can't smell him, can't touch him. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for us in this book. As they penned it and wrote it, they wanted to know more of what we think we're learning at that time. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you, us. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even angels are eagerly watching these things happen in your life and my life, in your family, your children, your grandchildren, and the people around you and your neighbors. The angels are watching these events happen. It's a mystery. A call to holy living. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the Scripture says, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you, us, individually, according to what we do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as a foreigner in this world. The Scripture says, in the world, but not of it. It's almost like having a dual personality. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold and silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. He says, no one can come to the Father except by me. So we have to find Jesus in this precious book. And then he leads us right through himself back to the Father. And then he becomes our Father by the adoption. You have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it becomes from the eternal living Father and Word of God, as the Scriptures say. People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to us. That's our blessed hope. We're going to live and die, many of us, before this church is filled. And it's going to happen. It will happen. And God will be glorified, but we are just a stepping stone in His work, His procession into developing a Clarksburg Seventh-day Adventist church. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for it diligently, earnestly, wantingly. Know that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Living stones for God's house. You're coming to Christ, who is living, the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Who is God's temple? Where is God's temple? Remember, it's between your ears as well as in this building. This building is a temple, but the temple that's being fought for is the battle of your heart, your mind. And as the brother brought out last Sabbath, truth and lie are together between the ears. And you must work hard and be diligent. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. That's what we're talking about, see? What's more, you are His holy priest. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifice that pleases God. As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Yes, you must trust Him and recognize the honor God has given Him. But for those who reject Him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And He is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. You got an ID card now. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. They, even if they accuse you of doing something wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they'll give honor to God when He judges the world. Respecting people of authority, the policemen, the firemen, the president's orders, the nation, the Congress, the Senate, all these things right on down, the civil acts, the Clarksburg community, the mayor. We're to respect those regulations of society. All He's doing for these people have sent these officers and things to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. That's what's the law enforcement that we know that offends us oftentimes. And we disagree with some of the verdicts and things that come out of their actions. But it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free. yet you're God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Don't retaliate. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the leaders, the king in this case, in the scripture. Then the next subject area comes into slaves. You are slaves, must accept the authority of the master of your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they're cruel. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure the unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're being beaten, downtrodden, I'm adding here a little bit, for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God's pleased with you. It's all about us individually. God wants to, he saves us one by one. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example. You must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on to the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you're healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away. But now you have turned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Wives, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They'll be won over by your observing your pure, reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God, accepted the authority of their husbands. And for instance, it continues on, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. Now, husbands, you're next. Stan, you're next. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. And that's amazing. That's awesome. That is truth. Treat her as you should so, and your prayers will not be hindered. If you treat her right, your prayers won't be hindered. God hears. He blesses. That's how this miracle, the impossible, one may be saved by the other through the faith of the strong person. All Christians, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Do you pray for them? Somebody curses you out, pushes you, shoves you. Lord, help them to learn to do better, be kinder, nicer. That's what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from the evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who are who do evil. We had that in the Sabbath school. Sabbath school just flowed right into this message. Suffering for doing good. Now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? That's a question. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. Don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle, respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison and those who disobeyed God long ago, way back before this gospel. And God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing the dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Christ has gone to heaven and he's seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. And now living for God, our charge. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they'll slander you, but remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die, just like we are, as it says in the book of James, in the grass of the field, we're destined to die. We must die from this life or be transformed to the twinkling of an eye when he comes, if you're alive and endure persecution. So they're also destined to die like all people. They now live forever because Jesus died on Calvary. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. More and most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay, as we touched on homeless people in Audrey's story. Pretty hard to do to what's running around the streets out there to say, can I help you today? Would you come home with me? I have a meal for you. Have a drink. And then hear their story. That man, you realize what he goes through just living out there in the wild of nature, rain, snow, sleet, and wherever he goes and his marching, carrying that pack of Bibles. That's cruelty and torture by nature. But he's willing to submit and surrender to praise the Lord and hand out the gospel. I wonder what translation he was handing out, being a Lutheran pastor. they're pretty strong now. It's part of the Catholic faith. And of course, we know they've altered some things. God has given each of you a gift from His, now this is important. God's given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. That's a pretty tough charge. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm just reading His word this morning as I read it. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you will do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Suffering for being a Christian. We're all claiming to be Christians, Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. This very morning, this very hour, this very moment, what in your mind is this old fleshy body suffering for Jesus Christ? Whatever it is, I can only speak for myself, it's heavy. It can be depressing. It can be overwhelming. But because of these kinds of words that are hidden and well prepared in this book, the Scriptures, I find rejuvenation, refreshment, and courage to go keep on going. And each one must do that. For we're, as we sang in the song last Sabbath, opening song, Onward Christian Soldiers. Every one of us is an onward Christian soldier, marching as to war. And we are at war. Instead of when these things are happening to us, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it's revealed to all the world. Isn't that beautiful? That's the end game. That's the victory. So be happy when you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. For the time has come for the judgment, and it must begin with God's household. That's us. We're His chosen people. We're His household. And it's going to start with us. He's reading our hearts. The recording angels follow us around all day long. They're recording the things we do. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God? Wow. That good news. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? If we're just going to scrape in there by our mediator's blood and victorious Jesus, King of Kings, what about those? So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He'll never fail you. And now here it comes to we who are in this church, who are the workers. And now a word to you who are elders in the church. I too am an elder, Peter's letter says to that church. And a witness to the suffering of Jesus. He was there. He saw it. And I too will share in His glory when He's revealed to the whole world. Just like us when He comes. Peter's sleeping, waiting. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but but lead them by your own and good example. And when good and the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. There's the beauty word, humility, King Nebuchadnezzar. 7 years to get rid of pride, become humble. God opposes the proud but favors the humble. That's the next verse. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all around this globe, all around the world, are going through the same kind of suffering. Coronavirus, cancer, heart failure. It's everywhere. Rich people, poor people, kings, queens. And in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, that's all this life is, just a little while. After you have suffered it and you made it through to the sleep, or if you're standing when he comes, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. I've written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. Wherever you are, whatever the press of the life is that you are enduring, stand firm. Persevere in Christ. Greet each other with Christian love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. That powerfully potent. So if you're suffering, if you're being tortured in your flesh, no matter what or how, you have to hold on to this precious truth. And the Spirit, by moment, living, surrendered, and humbled, abiding in Jesus, and he will abide in us, we're safe. And we shall be together in glory. Heavenly Father, add your blessing to these words, that each heart here who has heard them read will receive, be nurtured, blessed, find peace and comfort. And such as I'm studying now, Lord, some of the old martyrs and the atrocities and the cruelty that they endured for your name's sake, for your glory and your honor. Though we don't have to face such horrendous things as they, we still suffer with the same intensity of press of life and purpose within these bodies of flesh. And this body of flesh that each of us dwell in is the place where the current warfare and the battle for good and evil is being fought for its last moments. Lord, give us the strength and courage to individually hold firm and sound in the truth that we know. And most of all, in trust and belief in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead by your calling, and all that he has done to prepare for us this most precious gift. Let us learn how to be graciously grateful and suffer valiantly, victoriously in the flesh for him as he so did for us. Give us strength and courage now and forever. until he comes, all generations. In his precious holy name, amen. Let's close our service by singing praise and glory to him. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again, number 213 in the church hymnal. Heavenly Father, be with us now. See us safely to the places we're all headed for after this service. May we be very careful how we speak and talk and fellowship. May we always put you foremost in our conversation and speak the words in season and out of season and timely with gentleness and love. Let everyone know that the same ruling love that you have for us that had attracted us and drawn us into this truth will somehow reach out to their hearts and let them find your great love, the love that is never ending, never failing, and is greater and larger than we can possibly imagine or experience in our lifetime here as people in journey to Zion. Lord, to explore the boundaries of love eternally, keep us to that good bidding, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.